asking a question to all the kids here. So kids, you can raise your hand to answer me. How many of you kids wash your hands before you eat? Every time? Girls, every time? No, not so much. Every time, James? Sometimes, okay. How many of your parents tell you to wash your hands before you eat? Got some. Okay, now, why do they tell you to do that? Why is it important to wash your hands before you eat food?
Right. Don't want germs going into your mouth.
Because you don't want germs going into your mouth, right? Because your hands get dirt and germs on them throughout the day, and if you eat food with dirt and germs on your hands, and some of those germs might get into your mouth and get inside of you and make you sick. So washing your hands before you eat helps keep you healthy. Now, if you didn't raise your hands, if you're one of the kids who didn't raise your hands there, you don't wash before every meal, it's okay. You are in good company because apparently Jesus did not wash his hands before eating either. Parents, you can thank me for this one later. So, we heard this story in Mark's gospel where some Pharisees, some of the Jewish religious leaders, noticed that Jesus' disciples were not washing their hands before they ate. And since a disciple does everything that his teacher does, we know that Jesus wasn't washing his hands either. Because if Jesus had washed his hands, his disciples would have done it too. That is the way that it works. If your teacher does something, you do it too. So the Pharisees, they see this, and they come to Jesus and they say, "Why aren't your disciples following the tradition of the elders and washing their hands before they eat?" They're essentially asking Jesus, "Why aren't you teaching them to do this? You're not teaching them correctly." Washing your hands before eating was not a part of Jewish law. Okay, the commandments that God gave to Moses and the people of Israel, it was not a part of that. What it did say in the commandments was that priests working in the temple had to wash their hands in a certain way before entering the holy place and offering a sacrifice. So, like, if I was going to serve communion later this morning, I would have to wash my hands in a certain way before doing that. Okay? The Pharisees believed that all of the people of Israel were called to live as priests in the world. And because of that, they had to follow the laws for the priests. So they said that all Jewish people should wash their hands in this special way before they ate any meal. That way, every meal that they ate, it would be like that meal was sacred and holy before God. This was one of the Pharisees' traditions, and they believed that everyone should follow it. Now, they weren't trying to be strict or mean. They were trying to help the people of Israel be holy and live right with God. The Pharisees thought that this tradition helped them follow God's law. Right? It was like the language that was used, it would put a fence around the law that kept the law safe and helped preserve their way of life and faith. And it helped them bear witness to the rest of the world about the goodness of God. It said, these people are different. They are holy because their God is holy. So these traditions were very important to the Pharisees, because if you stopped following the traditions, then pretty soon you wouldn't be following the law. Like if you stopped washing your hands before every meal, then pretty soon you'd be saying, well, that's not really that important either. I don't need to do that. And you would just kind of gradually fall away from the law. You wouldn't be bearing faithful witness to the world around you. You wouldn't be showing them anything good or different or holy about God. So just like washing our hands before we eat helps keep our bodies healthy, They believed that washing their hands before they eat helped keep them spiritually healthy. If you ate with unclean hands, then you're not taking God's law seriously. And that would make you unclean. It would make your spirit unclean. Your relationship with God wouldn't be healthy. But if you ate with clean hands, then that would help keep your focus on God. You'd be doing this ritual of washing your hands and reminding yourself, I'm doing this because of God, because of what it says in God's law. And so your focus would be on God. So your relationship with God would be healthy and your spirit would be healthy. The Pharisees were worried that Jesus wasn't taking God's law seriously enough. That he wasn't keeping that fence around the law. But Jesus knew that what that fence was doing was not keeping the law safe. It was keeping other people out. What these traditions did was to emphasize that some people are clean and some people are unclean. We do this because we belong to God. But the rest of the world out there on the other side of that fence, they are unclean. They don't do this. They do not belong to God. So instead of these traditions drawing them closer to God and closer to their neighbor, which is the whole point of the law in the first place, right? Love God, love your neighbor. Instead of doing that, it was actually separating them from God and separating them from their neighbors by emphasizing the difference between the two. We are clean, they are unclean. We do this, they don't. Okay, so you see, the problem was that even though this wasn't one of the commandments that God gave them, this washing of hands for all people, even though it wasn't one of the commandments God gave, the Pharisees treated it like it was. You have to do this to be in right relationship with God. They took this human idea and treated it like it was from God. Instead of focusing only on God's law, they were focusing on all this other stuff too, all these other things that they had to do. And Jesus tells them that. He says, you are teaching human ideas like they're from God. It's like you've forgotten what the law actually says because you're so focused on these human traditions. There is nothing you can do, Jesus says, that will make you clean or dirty inside. Purity and holiness comes from inside of you. If your heart and your spirit are pure and holy, then the things that you do will show it. But if your heart and your spirit are unclean, then the things that you do will show that. You see, the Pharisees thought that if your actions were right, then your heart would be right. But Jesus says, no, it starts with your heart. If your heart is right, then your actions will be right. So don't look outside to these external things. Look inside yourself. Examine your heart. Now I want to ask another question to the kids here. And I think this one can include the teenagers too. So when you get up in the morning, you're getting ready for school, getting ready for church. How many of you look in the mirror? Okay, at some point, before you leave the house, you look at yourself in the mirror, right? Why do we do that? Anyone? Kids? Hey, why do we look in the mirror at ourselves? Why?
To see it ourselves.
To see what about ourselves? Just to see yourself? To see what you look like? Or what? To see how pretty you are? Yeah, I think that'll work. You know, to make sure that we look the way that we want to look. Right? To make sure that we look presentable to the world. That our hair is combed, that our clothes kind of match and they look nice, that there's not like dirt or toothpaste on our face or anything. We want to make sure that when we go out and people see us, they don't say, whoa, What's going on there? When I look in a mirror, what am I looking at? Me. Right? I'm looking at myself. I'm looking at my face. I'm looking at my hair. I'm looking at my clothes. Am I looking at you?
Kind of.
No. If I'm looking in a mirror, am I looking at you?
No.
Am I looking at God?
Yes.
Well, looking at me, right? Am I looking at my heart or my spirit?
No.
Like Jesus says, that can I tell if my heart is pure by looking in a mirror?
No.
No, when I look in a mirror, I am looking at myself, my exterior, my surface appearance. James says in this letter that Ryan read, that if you hear God's word, but don't do what God's word tells you to do, then you are like someone who looks at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves, and when they walk away, they immediately forget what they look like. Who does that? Who looks at themselves in a mirror, and then as soon as they walk away, they forget what they look like? I mean, we've all seen ourselves enough throughout our lives. We kind of know what we look like, right? That's a strange thing for James to say. But we have to realize that he's not really talking about a mirror here. James starts by saying that everything good comes from God. And it is given to us by God so that we might bear witness to the world of God's goodness. He says, God gave us birth by the word of truth so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. First fruits. It's like when an apple tree produces its first apple of the year, you look at it and say, oh, that's what kind of tree that was. That's what the rest of those apples are going to look like. They're not going to be green. They're going to be red. Right? So he's saying that God gave us every good gift so that people would look at us and say, oh, that's what it looks like to live right with God, to bear God's fruit. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. In a sense, this is just what the Pharisees were saying, that we have to bear witness to the world of the goodness of God. We have to make sure that we are presentable to the world, right? But then James picks up on what Jesus is saying. He says that righteousness begins within. That God has implanted a word on our hearts, and everything good stems from that. Everything good comes from the law that God has written on our hearts. And he says that if you hear that word and don't do anything about it, you're like someone who looks at themselves in a mirror. He doesn't say, if you hear that word and don't do anything about it, you're like someone who looks at themselves in a mirror and forgets what they look like. That's how we hear this a lot of times, but there's an important distinction here that helps us understand this. James says that those who hear God's word and don't do it are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. Look at themselves in a mirror. You're not looking at God. You're not looking at your neighbor. You're looking at yourself. You're focused on yourself. And you're not looking at your heart or your spirit. You're looking at the exterior, the surface. Looking in a mirror focuses on the outside rather than the heart and the spirit, which is where God is at work. The Pharisees were so focused on the outside, the external, following these traditions and saying that holiness comes from that, they got so focused on the externals of their faith that they forgot to examine their own hearts. Their efforts to live faithfully were putting up walls of alienation instead of drawing them closer to God and closer to their neighbors. But Jesus and James are both saying, don't just look at yourself, at your own traditions or expectations or desires, because that keeps you from looking to God and looking to your neighbor. If you just look at yourself, you're not going to find anything lasting there. You'll forget it as soon as you go on to the next thing. But if you look to God, if you examine your heart and look long and hard at God's word, God's law, what God wants for us, what God is calling us to do, if you do that, then you will be driven to act. You'll see God there. You'll see something good there, and you will have to respond by acting. What will that action look like? James says, caring for orphans and widows in their distress and keeping yourself unstained by the world. Loving God, loving your neighbor. Not putting up fences or walls that keep other people away, but letting God draw you closer to them. Loving and caring for those who cannot take care of themselves. Those that nobody else cares about. If you look long and hard at the word that God has written on your heart, then you will act towards others out of a place of great love. Love for God is shown not just in the performance of religious rituals and personal piety. It's not just about coming to worship and singing some songs and hearing a sermon and sharing communion. And it's not just about your daily devotional. It is about what all of those things lead you to do. How they lead you to love your neighbor. How they lead you to speak and act towards others. Because if those things aren't drawing you closer to God and closer to others, then like James says, they're worthless. What are you doing them for? But if through all of those things you hear the word that God has written on your heart, you hear that and you act in ways that bear witness to the goodness and the love of God, if you do that, then you will be the blessing of God in the world. Let's pray. Gracious God, you have written your word on our hearts and in our minds, and we pray that you would give us ears to hear it throughout all the busyness of our days, throughout all the other voices that speak to us and make demands on us, that we would hear your voice and your word, the goodness and the love that is there, that we would act. That we would look into our hearts, find what you are calling us to do, and that it would draw us closer to you and to our neighbors. Help us, Lord, not merely to be hearers of your word, but also to be doers. To go where you're calling us to go. To respond out of gratitude and love for all the blessings that we have known, to help those who cannot help themselves, to care for those that no one else cares about. May we look not just to ourselves. May we look first to you. You are the source of life, the source of all good things, of every good gift. Pray that our hearts and minds would be focused on you so that we could live right with you and with each other. Give us such faith each day to do that, to follow you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.